Good morning and welcome to you and the radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program as we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired word. If at any time you have a question about something that's said on this program, or if you have a Bible question or a Bible subject that you would like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information given by the announcer. When we look and read Matthew chapter 21, verses 23 through 27, while Christ was upon earth, he was asked a very important question by the Jewish leaders. And that question was, by what authority did you do these things? Jesus responded to the question with his own question. He asked them if the teaching of John the Baptist came from heaven or from men. When the Jewish leaders refused to answer him, Jesus refused to answer their question, since they would not acknowledge the obvious fact that John's message came from heaven. Jesus refused to directly acknowledge that his own message also came from heaven. So in this exchange, Jesus showed by his question that religious authority is either derived from heaven or men presume to establish it for themselves. So then, it's important, as we look at what the Scriptures teach, to begin with the acceptance of a common source of authority. Well, first of all, how do men presume authority for themselves? Well, I think men that presume to establish authority for themselves when they follow the commandments and the doctrines of men. In Colossians chapter 2, beginning with verse 18, it says, "Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all of the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as through living in the world, do you subject yourself to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh." See, many things are done in religion that are in truth merely self-imposed, as this passage teaches. We know that Jesus rebuked the Jews for following the tradition of the elders to the neglect of God's word. In Matthew chapter 15, we can read of that in the first six verses. Even though such traditions may be widespread, and they may be something that has been accepted for generations, if they're contrary to God's will as revealed in his word, they must be rejected. Some teach that the church possesses authority in itself, separate and distinct from the authority of the scriptures. Well, as a result, when a practice is not found in scriptures, but is followed by a religious organization, the so-called authority of the church is appealed to in order to justify the practice. But friends, the church that Jesus established derives all authority from Christ. Ephesians 1, verses 22 and 23, "God has given all things under Christ's feet, and has gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that buildeth all in all." Yes, Christ is the head over all things to the church. And the word of Christ is going to be that which will judge men in the day of judgment. This we read in John 12, verses 47 through 49. See, the church is not going to serve as a standard of judgment when we stand before God. It's going to be God's word. The leaders of churches, they can err. They can practice things that are wrong. We see that in Galatians chapter 2, where there in beginning with verse 11, notice what we read. And now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those that were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, If you, being a Jew, live in the manner of the Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as the Jews? So the only authority that the church or its leaders possess is the responsibility to call men in obedience to the Word of God. And two, men presume authority for themselves when they rely upon their own feelings. You know, many people justify beliefs and practices in religion because they come to have strong emotional feelings within themselves that God approves of their action. But you know, all we have to do is look at Paul and the life that he lived before becoming a Christian, of holding the garments of those that stoned Stephen, of going into Damascus to bring Christians and bound them to Jerusalem to put them in jail. And yet, in passages like Acts 23 and verse 1 and 1 Timothy 1 verses 12 and 13, Paul did all of this in a good conscience. It is possible then to feel that something is right when it's actually wrong, when it's actually sinful. And we know from Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, the way of man is not in himself. God has not created man with an inborn instinct or moral directive that will guide his behavior. The conscience can be weak, as 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 7. Our consciences can be seared, as 1 Timothy 4 and verse 2 teaches. Or, as Hebrews 10 and verse 22 says, our conscience can even be evil. So, how can we make sure that we have divine authority for what we do? Well, first of all, we must recognize the absolute authority of the Scriptures. God has revealed His Word to mankind in the writings of the Bible. It is the absolute authority for man in this age, and it's the means by which we can determine divine authority for what we teach and for what we practice. The Scriptures can make us wise unto salvation. 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 and 15. The Bible reveals the plan of salvation that God has offered in Jesus Christ. The Scriptures gives us each one of us, all things needed for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. And by following the Bible, one can be truly equipped to be pleasing to God. Nothing else is needed. And we must rightly divide the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Like any written material, we need to make certain that we properly apply and interpret the Bible. You know, the mention is made in 2 Peter 3 and verse 14 that some twist the Scriptures to their own destruction. So let us understand that not every teaching that claims to have Bible authority is valid. We must do what John said in 1 John 4 and verse 1. We must test the Spirit, try the Spirits. Only then can we be certain that we are following divine authority. And we must recognize that the Bible is something that can be understood. It's in the book of Ephesians, in the third chapter. Notice as we begin reading with verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. See, there are so many people who claim that the Bible can't be understood, but instead it's some sort of a mysterious text that only scholars or church leaders can unravel. While the Bible urges teachers to teach and explain the gospel, Paul shows us that we can understand the mystery which he wrote about. Many, like any written work, what this involves is considering what does it instruct. You know, we could call these direct commandments, like in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. See, Jesus teaches that we must follow his instructions. When he went ahead and said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. So this comes to us through what Jesus said while he was here on this earth and what he revealed to the Holy Spirit, to the apostles. That we see in what Jesus commanded his apostles in John chapter 16 and verse 13 when he said, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. But he will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. The he is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. The you is the apostles. The Holy Spirit came and guided the apostles in the revelation of God's will, all truth. What does it describe? Well, not all examples reflect the approval of God. Not all examples reflect the practice of his chosen apostles. It's only the approved apostolic examples that teach us that we may do this or that in order to please God. As those to whom Jesus gave the Holy Spirit, the approved examples that are set forth by the apostles becomes a binding standard for teaching and practice. The Holy Spirit speaks of the early apostles and prophets as a part of the foundation of the church, with Jesus being that chief cornerstone that is talked about in Ephesians 2 and in verse 20. What does it infer? Well, we should call these necessary inferences or inescapable conclusions, like in Acts 20 and verse 7. When we communicate information in written form, a writer often makes inferences that further complete instructions and description given to the reader. And the text of Acts 20 and verse 7 shows that by clear inference that the Christians described came together on the first day of the week to break bread, that is, observe the Lord's Supper. So we can infer necessarily that it was divinely authorized for them to do that. So see, the Bible allows us to have all that we need to act with authority of heaven. Our challenge is to believe it, accept it, and to faithfully obey it. Friends, we see that our time is gone. We appreciate so much your listening, and we hope that you'll tune in again tomorrow. Until then, we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we return you to our announcer.